I picked a great weekend, right? In any case, I greet you in the name of Christ, good people. And it is good to be here. And I bring you greetings from the beloved community of St. John the Divine in Squamish, where I am the rector, as well as from your siblings in Christ from across the beautiful Sea to Sky Deanery, which is West Vancouver and the Sunshine Coast and Squamish, just the most beautiful deanery in the whole world, I'm sure. I'm excited to be able to pray with you. It's always good to pray with a new community, and particularly to crack open the scriptures a little bit this morning. And we have a good one today from the Gospel of Mark. One of what I believe is Jesus' most consistent messages in the Gospel. We are a little removed from Jesus, even through the Gospels. The stories of Jesus were shared orally at first, and only written down a number of years, even decades later, after the events, in a different language than they most likely originally occurred in. This is not to discredit these important witnesses to the gospel, the good news to Christ. However, I think that things that repeat again and again and again are things that we should pay particular attention to. This is the case for today's reading, I believe. Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to become great among you must be a servant. And whoever wishes to be the first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Whoever is great among you must be a servant. And the Son of Man came not to serve, to be served, but to serve." It's important to remember that part. This teaching came in response, and we heard that beautifully read by Taras, my fellow ordained with this guy here. It's good to see you again. It came in response to a very interesting interaction with a couple hapless disciples. The disciples were often saying and doing the wrong thing, which is very encouraging for me, because I often say and do the wrong thing too. So James and John, sons of Zebedee, fishermen, come up to Jesus, vying and jockeying for some power and status while no one was looking. A very Machiavellian sort of move. "Lord, let us sit beside you, one on the right and one on the left, when you enter into your glory." Left hand, right hand man, right here. The other disciples were upset that they had tried to make a backroom secret deal with Jesus for their own gain, which is probably understandable. It was and continues to be the way of the world to look out for number one, to search out power, privilege, and prestige, to look to our own self-interest and gain as the greatest good, our own self-interest and gain as the greatest good. However, the way of Jesus, the way of the kingdom of God he preached about again and again and again, is about turning the ways of the world on its head. Instead, Jesus taught and put into practice a different way, a more humble way, a more loving way of generous, self-giving service. The greatest good is not me, but it's we. Not inward, but outward looking. I wonder if this radical, countercultural way of being and leading was what made Jesus particularly compelling, what made people drop everything and follow him, at least in part. It was certainly a big part of what made the fledgling church appealing. People were sharing things in common and taking care of those in need, both in and outside the community, and laying down their own lives for their friends. The thing I like best about this particular Jesus teaching is that it specifically has to do with leadership. It suggests to me that the higher you up on the ladder, the greater the responsibility you have to humility and service. Maybe that is why he kept on repeatedly sharing this to his disciples, the ones who he'd hope would lead the new movement. A leader who looks to the good of others first is a very special thing, and I'm sure you could all name people who have shown these virtues, these values in their leadership. I feel very blessed to have known a number of people like that, and the one I want to share with you today is Bishop Jim Cruikshanks, who some of you might have met or known. He has passed away now. May he rest in peace. However, growing up at my church, Bishop Jim was just around as a retired cleric, helping out wherever he could. He hosted a fellowship and discussion group for young adults and helped teach confirmation class, mine own included. I found him to be such a genuine, caring, generous person who was open, compassionate, and non-judgmental. He made a real difference in my life. I already admired Bishop Jim for who he was and how he led in the church so humbly. And it was only years later that I realized that he had done so much in his life and ministry. I hadn't even realized he was a bishop. I just thought Bishop was his first name, Bishop Jim. That's the sort of leader he was. That was the humility he carried himself with. Unfortunately, the church is not always a good model for the servant leadership that Jesus preached about. Instead of being an alternative to the ways of the world, we have often become one with them. And the pursuit of power and influence has never been a good look for the church. Trying to gain our own life is a surefire way to lose it. Someone said that once. Oh yes, Jesus. At least as far as the institutional life of the church goes. The good news is that it does not take much to make a big difference in the world. And it is possible. We do not need to be all that many. If we start to model what Jesus taught and modeled himself, we will be able to offer something compelling and beautiful and liberating to the world. I believe you realize this already here in Powell River, because you have a plethora of deacons. Deacons everywhere. I can see two right now. And this order, the order of deacons, embodies that humble service and encourages all of us to lean into that a little bit more. So thank you for your service. I wonder how you, here in beautiful Powell River, rainy Powell River, can flip the world on its head for love in big and small ways in this church and in your work and in your families and leisure and rest of your lives. I bet it would be a beautiful thing. It's easier said than done, I know. Just humble, self-sacrificing service, generously. We don't always get it right. We never do, but we go with God's grace, and we do not go alone. And that's part of my job as your regional dean, to remind you that you are not alone in this journey. Your siblings across the deanery, across the diocese, are walking with you. And it is a privilege and an honor to be with you, good people of St. David and St. Paul, on the way of Jesus. Continued blessings on the journey. Thanks be to God. Amen.